B-Pod Studios.
This is Felger.
Felgstradamus.
And Mass.
You're not going to get anybody half decent for free.
Presented by DraftKings on 98.5 The Sports Hub.
Hi, everybody. Welcome to the program. It's Felger and Maserati on Thursday, January 23rd, here from our Town Fair Tire Studios at the beautiful Beasley Media Group in Dorchester, Massachusetts. Maz, Murray, how you guys doing?
Good.
It's a big day on the program. Have an announcement to make right off the top. Felger and Maz will have a name change. We are no longer Felger and Maz. We are now Felger and Maz presented by DraftKings.
Yep.
We have a title sponsor, Maz.
We do.
Which is a big deal.
No question.
On NBC Sports Boston, on the simulcast side, I can't discuss yet exactly on that side, but I think in time here, there's going to be another announcement. And I don't know, what can I tell you? It's kind of a big deal, kind of unprecedented. Bowl games are now have title sponsors.
Right, like the Belk Bowl.
Exactly.
Tostitos, whatever the hell it is.
Well, you know, I mean, a lot of things have title sponsors. A whole soccer league in Britain, Barclays Premier League, it's sponsored by a bank. Like, it's we now have a title sponsor. We are now Felger and Maz, presented by DraftKings.
Yep, and DraftKings in particular has obviously been a partner for a long time in a lot of different ways. You know, they've been involved in the baseball reporters, too, and so we're thankful to them for getting involved in this program in a significant capacity.
It's exciting. I think it's kind of, I don't know. I've been asking about it for the last couple of years. Let's get a title sponsor, man. Let's be like a bowl game. Let's be like a NASCAR. Just sell the crap out of it. It plasters stuff all over us. And this is the big one. So we are now Felger and Maz, presented by DraftKings. Welcome to them, and we're thankful for their support of the show. Let's start with some Patriots. Apparently there was an update on Brady Watch. We got Brady Watch. I think it's Brady Watch Day 19. How many days until the contract is up? Can NBC Sports Boston tell me that? All right. So either way, we had a little update on Brady Watch. Adam Schefter today was on ESPN, not necessarily reporting, but discussing something. And, well, let's hear it, Billy. Do you have it, please?
Well, here's the situation. I don't believe the New England Patriots are waiting till March 16th to get an answer from Tom Brady. Right. Last year, Rob Gronkowski wound up retiring in late March. Now, I don't know the conversations they didn't have before, but New England missed the window on free agent tight ends. So I don't think that they're going to let Tom Brady go to free agency, all of a sudden sign with Team X, and then on March 20th say, well, what do we do at quarterback now? So that's not the way that organization operates.
Okay, so on Brady Watch Day 19, we get that from Adam Schefter, which makes perfect sense.
Absolutely it does.
And so, you know, the whole rub is not just missing the market on quarterbacks, but there's a money concern where there's a big dead money component that if he signs with the Patriots, re-signs with the Patriots after March 18th, there's $13 million extra. If he signs before that day, it's only $6 million extra. So it really does behoove the Patriots on a couple different fronts to have this settled before March 18th. He says March 16th, which is the tampering period, which makes perfect sense. They still have to figure out how Brady can get comfortable with that, meaning what he knows the market is. He's not allowed to talk to other teams until the 16th. And I keep saying, are they allowed to grant him permission to talk before that time and find out what his market is? I would hope so. But the back and forth continues, you would say. Right, Maz?
No question it does. And look, again, I thought, you know, the more we started talking about earlier in the week, I thought the 16th was really a significant date because we all know how that tampering period works. All the agreements, not all, but many of the significant ones are reached before the 18th, and news leaks out about them. And so if this is the Patriots' way of pressuring Brady, and I think that that's in part what it is, like Tom wants to go and talk to Mark Davis and let it out there that I'm going to mingle and I'm going to play the field and I'm going to have a deliberate process. And I'm going to take my time, as many have reported, Jason Lockham, for all these little, you know, nuggets that are coming out. then this is the Patriots saying, well, have a blast, but we're not going to get sit here holding the bag, stuck holding the bag like we did with Gronk, which, by the way, this report, too, validates that point. Gronk strung him along. They didn't put enough heat on him, which, and that part of it's on them.
And they acknowledge it. They blew it.
They did blow it. They missed it. And look, we talked about it beforehand. Like, remember Gronk said, yeah, I'll have my answer. And then, hello, are we going to get one? Like, when's it coming? And they got screwed. They lost out on a minimum Jared Cook, whom I've also ascertained was apparently a specific request, not specific request, but a like of Brady's, that Brady had some affinity to Jared Cook. And you wanted that to come through, and because of Gronk and other factors, it didn't. And so, you know, maybe that's another thing that added to Brady being pissed off during the course of the year. It's the only reason I mention it. But yes, they can get stuck holding the bag here, a quarterback.
So if we get to March 16, is he gone?
I would say
if we don't have a re-signed agreement with Brady by that time, he's gone.
I'd say the chances increase every day we get closer to that date. Yes. The chances go up. Because there's always a chance here the Patriots are playing a little leverage game, too. Right?
That's what I think it is. I mean, you've already had posturing from Brady, because that's what I believe what was going on with Las Vegas, to make sure that he was seen talking to the owner of the Oakland Raiders, now Vegas Raiders. And now the Patriots are kind of, you know, going back a little bit by going through Schefter and putting this out there.
You guys still think he's gone?
Yeah, I lean that way, yes.
Yeah.
It's still hard to tell. I mean, we're all guessing. Like, yeah. I'm not going to hold you to it. Jimmy Stewart's off, thank goodness. So he's not going to, you know, stick his nose in your keister on this one, because it's hard to tell. We're all guessing. Who knows what, you know, it's a sort of a wide open situation. So I can tell you're hesitating, but I get it. I get it. It's hard to call, but you still think odds are gone.
I lean that way, yes. And here's the other thing with this Schefter item, is that doesn't this validate what Greg Bedard has told us, that they don't believe Stidham is quite ready? In other words, if they thought Stidham were the guy, then why does March 16th have to be a deadline?
Right.
You follow me? Because they already have Stidham. They can wait as long as they want on Brady.
Right. They need to know what's going on, because they want to play the market.
Exactly. So if they want to have their hand in the market, or at the very least, they don't want Brady to think that they have, you know, that they're going to wait around. So there are multiple elements.
I think that's a good read, and that would disappoint me. That would disappoint me if Stidham's not ready. That's the best solution, that Stidham, they believe they can get by with Stidham this year, and that he's ready, you know, not that he'll be like his peak, but will be ready to start as a young quarterback, paying and making nothing. Like, that's the best scenario. If they don't believe that and they have to go pay somebody, that changes everything.
Sure it does, yeah. And again, there could be multiple reasons that they are putting a deadline on it. But one of them could very well be that they don't think Stidham is quite ready and they're going to have to go out and get a guy.
Okay, so that's item number one. Day 19 of the Brady Watch. You think he's more or less likely to return? 617-779-0985. Another item that I meant to start with before I heard that Schefter thing, and that is the arrest of Juwan Williams, the second-year corner yesterday in Tennessee. Or I guess it was announced yesterday. It was really last week, Murray.
Late last Friday.
Do you have any other details that came out?
No. I mean, it's just basically the same thing. It was a traffic. He was pulled over on a highway in Tennessee. It was prescription drugs and an unnamed substance and paraphernalia.
Okay. Do you worry?
So that probably means like weed, a pipe, and probably pills.
So here's what I think. And here's my worry. Is this another blown draft pick? Is this another blown second-round pick that has no shot?
Legitimate concern.
Does the kid have, I don't know, maturity issues? Does he have a drug problem? Does he have what, you know, I mean, is this a sign that things are not right with Juwan Williams? And certainly he was stuck behind a very talented depth chart. You know, the Pats were good in the secondary and relatively healthy in the secondary, so he didn't get much of a sniff as a rookie. But is there another reason? Was he not ready for other reasons? And is this another failed draft pick? And this is a big picture story with the Patriots that I think is huge. They have to start drafting better. They have to start hitting on guys, because the last couple of years has been grim at the draft. It's been grim. And if this is another guy, if this is another second round pick, another high pick that flames out, I mean, how many more of these can they afford? And he's starting to get concerned about this. So that's my other question. That Murray gave this to us, but it's behind the ESPN paywall, where they ranked the draft classes, the 2019 draft classes, which I find these rankings and grades much more valuable than, you know, like The day after, draft grades are freaking useless.
Yeah, Belichick always gets an A.
Right. Like, what's the point? No one knows, and no one knows. So you can't, you can't, you know, really gauge a draft until 2 or 3 years. But at least after one season, you can grade it after one season. Patriots ranked 27th in the league.
And this is really based on a, you know, because this, a lot of their paywall stuff in ESPN, they're using Pro Football Focus. So they're using this like in a war type of sense. It's wins above replacement metric. PFF war is what they're doing to grade this.
Okay. So however they're using it, I mean, I think you can just eyeball it too.
Yeah. It just basically comes down to how much contribution did you get out of this year's draft class?
Why they're ranked here. They write, more than anything else this season, the Patriots needed playmakers who could separate and provide open targets for Tom Brady. N'Keal Harry was the second wide receiver drafted, but he wasn't one of the many impact rookies at the position, nor did he show that he could consistently separate when he was on the field. That miss, at least in his first year, alongside a lack of other impact players, put this Patriots class near the bottom of the list. They give a little write-up of how their top pick fared. Harry, number 32 overall, spent more than half his rookie season on injured reserve, recovering from an ankle injury. When he returned, he recorded less than one receiving yard per route run. Oh, there you go. There's a good stat for you, Maz. Less than one receiving yard per route run, one of the lowest marks on the team. I don't know how you can get lower.
He doesn't even get off the line of scrimmage.
Negative?
Seriously.
He finished the season with 12 catches for 105 yards, two touchdowns. Their best value pick. What was their best pick?
Winovich.
Probably.
I think it was the punter.
Oh, Bailey. Yeah, definitely Bailey.
I think they got more out of the punter than they did Winovich. They list Winovich here, but I'd go Bailey on that.
Oh, definitely Bailey.
How was Bailey at the end of the year, though?
Well, the playoff came brutal.
He fell off.
Yeah.
Yeah, he did. And I mean, to me, that was enough cause for, like, he's not one of these guys that can kick in good weather and meaningless games, and you put him in the playoffs. And put that aside.
Okay,
it was Bailey.
So, right, the balance of the whole year, I still go Bailey over Winovich.
So would I.
Anyway, they say Winovich played well, had 72.5 overall grade, 72.5 overall grade, that ranked 32nd among 108 qualifying edge defenders. So they got very little out of this draft, and they are in a era. And, you know, I went back and looked at it today. I think you can really, you know, the 20 years they've been doing this, you can really break it into four distinct eras of drafting. And, you know, some good, some bad. Up, down, up, down. It start from 2000 to 05, really good. And I'll go back and give you some names here in a second. From 06 to 09, they hit a real lull. Then from 2010 through 2013, they went back on the upswing. But from 2014 to present, it's really like the last five or six. It's scary. And this has become a long slump. This has become a longer slump. Let me just give you their first picks off the board since 2014. So some of these are second round picks. Some of these are third round picks. But these are their top picks. Their last six top picks. Dominic Easley, Malcolm Brown, Cyrus Jones, Derek Rivers, Isaiah Wynn, N'Keal Harry.
A lot of suck.
Oh, yeah, seriously.
I mean, not even non-impact, but...
I mean, Malcolm Brown is about the only guy that you can say, like, well, he was a decent to good player.
Average.
Barely even are a factor.
Right.
I mean, how long can you survive that? Now, look, this is an era where they did hit on a few in the middle rounds, like James White or Trey Flowers or Shaq Mason or Joe Tooney, but that's about the best from this era. That's about the best in Garoppolo, if you want to throw him in 2014. There's second and third round picks in this era. Again, from 2014 to present. Juwan Williams, Damian Harris, Yodney Kajusti, Duke Dawson, Antonio Garcia, Vincent Valentine, Jordan Richards, Geno Grissom. It is grim. The last five, 6 years, grim. And it's one of the reasons they're the oldest team in the league. We've asked this question before. What is their young core? Who is their best young player? Who's their best young player? Isn't that a problem?
Yeah, Jake Bailey.
Isn't that a problem that your answer is a sigh? Okay. Are you concerned about this is a question for the people. Are you concerned about where the Patriots are at as a roster? And are you concerned about the drafting? Are you confident that they can draft the right players? Because it's been a while since they've done it. We'll pick this up with your calls at 617-779-0985. It's Felger and Maz presented by DraftKings.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music.
It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top five Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
Felger and Maz on 98.5 The Sports Hub. Follow these guys on Twitter at Felger and Maz.
Corners, hit corners.
Ooh, good job.
Okay, that feels like it hit something.
Yep. Right
there. Down there. Oh, the names are great. Jojuan. J-O-E-J-U-A-N. Jojuan Williams from Vanderbilt.
I think it's Jawan.
It looks like it's Jojuan. Williams, he's from Vanderbilt, projected in the first to second round. Strong points, very big corner with height and length. Quickness of a much smaller man. Changes direction in a heartbeat and has good suddenness.
Sounds like Razai Dowling.
I like suddenness.
I didn't know suddenness was an attribute.
Weak points. Limited experience playing off and zone coverage. Occasionally fails to get his head turned, okay? But we're going to put Joe...
He doesn't turn his head. He's perfect for the Patriots.
Jojuan Williams, put him on the board.
And with the 45th pick in the 2019 NFL draft, the champs select Juwan Williams, DB, Vanderbilt.
Another bust? Another bust out?
Well, it's heading the Duke Dawson road.
Didn't have much of an impact as a rookie and got busted for drugs in his first offseason.
Not great.
That's not a great start.
Boy, I'll say.
Not a great start. He looked good in the preseason, right?
Yeah.
We noticed him. Noticed him in those exhibition games. Noticed him at camp. And then the season starts. Their secondary's excellent. I don't blame him for not supplanting, name it, you know. He's not going to beat out Stephon Gilmore or one of these guys. I got it. Okay. So, but... Now you combine that with what happened this week in Tennessee, and it's like, okay, now what are we looking at here? What is this? And how many times can you do this? 45th overall pick, Juwan Williams. The year before, Duke Dawson, you just said it, 56th overall, gone. And, oh, by the way, what did you get for Jimmy Garoppolo? You got Duke Dawson. I don't want to hear this crap about... And the Boston.com had another story today, just, you know, detailing all the tentacles of that trade, how many times they traded it off and moved around the board, and it's resulted in five different players. No. That pick resulted primarily in Duke Dawson. They traded Garoppolo for the 43rd pick. They then traded down and got Duke Dawson at 56, and they got an extra fourth for it. And the extra fourth was Christian Sam. Now, they did a bunch of other stuff in there, but the most I'm going to give you is Christian Sam. I'll give you Duke Dawson and Christian Sam for a franchise-ish quarterback. Okay, that was that trade.
Negligence.
But again, anyway.
Murray used the word yesterday, and I know we used it before, negligent.
We've been over this, but are you worried about the draft? Are you worried about... where are the teams at and their ability to dig their way out of it? And also, Brady Watch. All of it is on the table. 617-779-0985. Lead off with Kevin and Braintree on this topic. Hi, Kevin.
Hey, guys. I wasn't too worried about the draft in past years until McCourty stepped to the podium and said how long Edelman's been here and, you know, some of the special teamers like Ebner and them. It kind of made me, you know, I think it's more crucial now more than ever. And I don't feel great about it. But I think, you know, you feel like those guys haven't been here as long because of how long Brady's been here, if that makes sense.
Yes.
You know, but I'll hang up and listen.
Yeah, no, I think it's a huge time. The roster's in a little bit of trouble.
Yeah, I felt this way at the end of the season. Again, let's not discount Edelman either. Like, you know, Edelman doesn't have a lot left. Let's not be delusional. Devin McCourty wants to keep playing, but how old is he? Does it make sense to pay him at this stage of his career? There's a lot there. I mean, when you really start looking at it, like, to call them holes isn't right. Because, again, Devin McCourty can still play in the league. I'm not telling you he can't play. But I'm just telling you, what do you have coming that ensures your future?
And I'm telling you, when you go back and look at it, they're good eras of drafting. You know, again, like everybody else, Bill is hot and cold streaks. And the hot streaks really coincide with when they're winning Super Bowls. Not perfectly, but, I mean, let me just give you an idea. From 2000 to 2005, okay, that's the era when they won 3 out of 4, and they won 3 Super Bowls. From 2000 to 2005, they drafted Tom Brady, Richard Seymour, Matt Light, Deion Branch, David Givens, Ty Warren, Asante Samuel, Dan Copen, Vince Wilfork, Logan Mankins. Now, he never won, but he was drafted in 2005.
Mm-hmm.
Those are all studs.
Yep, good players.
I mean, big time. All of them, with the exception of Mankins, contributed mightily to championships and were, you know, just
starting players in the league.
And real contributors to championships. Also in that era, and I just, these guys, we can debate, but they were contributors to championships. Guys like Greg Randall was a right tackle. Dan Graham, Jarvis Green, Eugene Wilson, Ben Watson, Ellis Hobbs, Nick Kazier, Matt Cassel. Those were all good picks, valuable picks. Then you got to 2006 to 2009, and they hit a downswing. They really only drafted in those years, 06, 07, 08, 09, those 4 years, only three or four guys. One was Gerard Mayo. Another was Julian Edelman, but that's a little bit of an asterisk. The seventh round pick, and he was a quarterback. And the only guys I put on that list that were surefire, like, impact guys in those 4 years, Steven Goskowski and Matt Slater, special teams guys. The best of that group in those 4 years were guys like Lawrence Maroney, Brandon Merriweather, Sebastian Vollmer, Pat Chung. Meh. You know? I think Pat Chung was a good free agent signing the second time around. He wasn't a great draft pick.
He was better the second time around.
Right. He was a high second round pick.
Yeah.
So I don't think he was a great pick. When you got him back after that year in Philly is when I feel like, you know, he was valuable to you. But as a draft pick, eh. The rest from that era, 06 to 09, Chad Jackson, Dave Thomas, Garrett Mills, Kareem Brown, Terrence Wheatley, Sean Crable, Kevin O'Connell, Ron Brace, Darius Butler, Brandon Tate, Tyrone McKenzie. Those were all second, third round picks. And from 06 to 09, you had a dip. I mean, 07 was obvious, but, you know, by the time you got to 09, and the roster was depleted. And then in 2010, Maz, starting in 2010.
They got hot again there, no questions, of the tight end draft.
2010 to 2013, there was a big upswing. Rob Gronkowski, Devin McCourty, Aaron Hernandez, Nate Solder, Marcus Cannon, Chandler Jones, Dante Hightower, Jamie Collins, Logan Ryan, Daron Harmon. And that sort of set the stage for what came starting in 2014 and, you know, those Super Bowls. And I think now we're looking back at the last five, six drafts and it's oof. And so what are you looking at? And if you just sort of follow the history, I mean, that's really important. So they gotta start.
You know, we had a caller the other day that said something like, boy, they need it because of their drafts, they gotta have a good draft this year. And look, you can only do it one at a time. They need more than one good draft. Like, what are you gonna go 7 for 7 in the draft? That's not realistic. Yeah. They need to string together 3 out of 4 drafts or something like that.
And they need some impact, you know?
High-end players.
You know, those two eras where they really hit Brady, Seymour, Branch, Wilfork,
Gronk.
You know, okay, so that was that early 2000 era. Then that one I just gave you from 2010 to 2013, Gronkowski, you know, Hightower. You know, though they need those kind of guys. Never mind just the depth pieces.
Year was McCourty? Just quickly, was he?
He was
10.
It was 2010.
Okay, so that's he's an impact guy too.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Just in the most recent, few that you rattled off.
Yeah.
He was with Gronk and those guys. Yes. Absolutely.
We've got James in Portsmouth. Hi, James.
How's it going, guys?
Good, James.
So my only take is, you know, if the Patriots start tanking, how do you guys feel about your job security? If they go 13-3, you guys trash on them. But if Stidham comes in and they go, let's say 2-14, you're already trash on them when they're good. How can you keep trash on them when they're bad?
I know. I'm worried about it. I'm worried we're going to flip to country or something. I said this yesterday. 2-13, 2-14, 3-13 doesn't work for Felger and Maz. I'm not going to Del Contemporary and setting up James Taylor songs. I'm not qualified to do that. Murray can do it.
Sure. Yeah, I can talk up a song like the best of them.
I have no interest in going hot AC or whatever the crap. I can't do that. So, yeah, I'm worried about it.
Here's Keith Urban on 98.5 The Horse Hub.
I could crack some stupid jokes and maybe talk about the young hot chicks, but that's about it.
It concerns me. This is why I'm concerned about the future, these drafts, the look of the roster, the quarterback position, all of it. Belichick's window, it's super important. They're at a little bit of a crossroads. Exactly my point, caller. Here's Murray's update when we come back. I want to discuss the retirement of Eli Manning and the fallout as it relates to that. Right after these.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
Mike Felger, Tony Maserati, making your afternoon commute better.
Throw some, Felger. How about a mea culpa? You are wrong. Running backs do matter.
Or worse.
Yeah, I wouldn't pay him.
On 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Let's get to the retirement of Eli Manning. What's your reaction to that? You have any takeaways? Because I got one.
On Eli?
Yeah.
My takeaway is that they canvassed the market and there was an interest, and he said, that's it, I'm done. I mean, otherwise, why retire? Like, again, because we can't be naive about it. All kinds of tampering goes on. So I don't even know who his agent is, but whoever it is has been in the league a long time. It's not like Eli's going to pick up some guy off a street corner. And he probably had an idea. He did some preliminary sniffing around. Any of you guys get interest in Eli? Poked around with teams. The answer was no and said, I'm not getting a lot. There were teams that want to bring you in on a flyer or teams that want you as a backup, but no one as a starter. And Eli says, I'm not going anywhere and be a backup. I'm done.
I got two things. It's like that Maz just said, he's done, and he realizes he's done. He's either self-aware, made phone calls, realized nobody wants his services. He's cooked. He's done. That's been apparent for like a year or so now. And two, he's a Hall of Famer. Deal with it.
Okay, so the second piece we'll get to. Do you think he's a Hall of Famer? The first piece disappoints me. It's too bad. It's too bad that, and I'm surprised there's not a market for him, or it's both, right? I mean, if he said to teams, I'll come in at a minimum deal with incentives.
Then there'd be a market.
There'd be a market, you know, but he's probably demanding starter, real elite starter money, $20 million a year, you know, in which case I can see why there'd be no market. I wouldn't do that either. But it's too bad that he apparently lacks this fire or this will to prove the Giants wrong, prove his doubters wrong, have one last run at it, which, you know, I think that Philip Rivers has. I think Drew Brees has. Obviously, Tom Brady has. A lot of these guys have.
Hell, his brother had it.
Who hung on till the very end, right? Peyton Manning wanted to go as far as he could possibly go and win as much as he could possibly win, and you had to, you know, you had to crowbar him out of the league. He only left when it was apparent he could barely throw the football. And he hung on at the end and won a Super Bowl at the end, and it's too bad Eli doesn't have that gene. It's too bad.
Or you just give him credit because he realizes it would be sad if he came back because he's cooked.
Yeah, but what if he cared? I mean, maybe the cookage is part and parcel with someone who just lacks the fire. I mean, he's got natural ability. He had it. And as we've seen, guys are playing now into their 40s. So it's really not, he's 39. I just think he lacks the desire to, you know, to do it at 40. And he's, because the talent's there. I mean, what do you think? He never had talent, Murray?
No, I thought he had talent. I just think his arm is cooked. Like, there's nothing on his ball anymore. It's been apparent for like more than a year.
Can I throw in one more possibility just because it's become so prevalent? He took a lot of shots. I mean, Eli was a tough bastard. And so maybe he also did a little bit of sort of, you know, self-analysis there. And, dude, with everything we know now, I won 2 titles. I've had 8 concussions. I'm done.
Yeah, it's too bad. I'd say about Andrew Luck. It's too bad.
You want to be right about your dumb take about him coming to the Patriots and replacing Brady if he goes elsewhere. That's why you're upset.
Was that my take?
Yeah. Yeah, that's what your take was.
I'll tell you what, leave that part of it out.
I mean, hell, it made the headlines in New York, for God's sake.
Well, that's what the Post did to it, but I mean, I liked Eli. I think he's an interesting guy if he were viable for one last run at it. And I think it'd be way more interesting if that's how he approached it and if he were viable, if he wasn't cooked. And I think he's complicit in his cookedness, if that makes sense to you, Murray. Like, I mean, I get the sense that these other guys want to do everything they can to keep going and to keep competing and to stay in the league. And I think Eli doesn't. And I think that's, you know, part of the reason he's cooked. But I don't think he's as cooked as you do. Put it to you like that. And I think that I want quarterback upheaval is what I want. Like, for example, Philip Rivers is gone from the Chargers. He's gone. He's moved his entire family to Florida. He's done with the Chargers. The Chargers are moving into a brand new stadium where they've got to compete with another team in the same stadium. They're in Los Angeles, and it's a good roster. They are not just going to take Harry Schmedlap in the fourth round and make him their starting quarterback.
No way.
They need a guy. It's going to be a guy. Whether it's Brady.
Breeze.
Or Breeze. Or Cam Newton's going to be available in a trade. Jameis Winston, who I don't like, but that's a big name and it's a big signing. And I just want to see all these guys flip around like we have an NBA offseason. I want this in the NFL. And if Eli Manning were good enough and cared and wanted it, I think he'd be an interesting guy for a year, and I think he'd be viable in a place like that. The LA Chargers bring in two-time Super Bowl winner Eli Manning, who's motivated, has the ass, wants to prove everybody wrong, and that to me is much more. I just think that's interesting. I'm rooting for that story.
I mean, maybe the spirit got beaten out of him. Like, you know, again, the one thing I always admired about Eli, like, I'm under no illusion about what he is statistically, a 500 quarterback in the regular season. I thought he was tough as nails. He played every week. That NFC Championship game in San Francisco where he got the absolute stuffing beaten out of him and won the game.
You don't think he was a good big game quarterback?
Yeah, I think he was a tremendous competitor.
Okay, I don't think he was a Hall of Famer, but I think in a big game, I'd take him in a big game. And so, like, if you can get him to that place, now maybe he doesn't want to put in the work to go 16 games, or he's too beat up for 16 games, or he's cooked for 16 games, or whatever you want to say it. But I don't know. The league would be more interesting if he were still in it and still viable, and Eli Manning has a second chapter in another place, and here he's back in the playoffs, and there's Eli. I don't know. I think that'd be a good part of the story, good part of this offseason. Who's going where and who's viable? And now there's one less guy in that carousel.
Yeah, you know, again.
And I think that if he said, no, you pay me $5 million and the rest are incentives, he'd have a market.
I think so too, yeah.
He should.
I think that, you know, he told his agent.
And I'd still take him under those circumstances.
I know you would. You're lusting for it. I give him credit because I think it's a guy that looks in the mirror and says, you know what, I'm done. It'd be sad if I came back. I'm good. I could walk up into the sunset with two Super Bowl titles, MVP in both of those games, and I know I'm going to end up being a Hall of Famer.
I've always liked Eli. I mean, again, I just say, to me, he competes. And again, he's not as good as his brother. He's not as good as a lot of the, you know, great quarterbacks in his era.
Well, maybe he stopped competing because he's done. You know, maybe that's part of the fall off. But what if he were wired differently? You don't think for a season, if he were still viable, he'd be interesting on the Chicago Bears?
Sure he would, of course.
Great defense. They can turn around, make the playoffs. Now you have Eli Manning in the playoffs as the Bears quarterback. And again, I'm not talking about your version of Eli Manning, who's cooked and blows, but I'm talking about, I mean, that's a good story. That'd be a good thing for the league. That'd be a good thing to follow. I would like to see that. I think the Chargers, another team. So I think it's too bad that he's retiring. I think it's too bad he's taking himself out of the mix, because that would be another guy to consider for the carousel of quarterbacks around the league. I think he'd be an interesting story for a team that were, you know, a quarterback away, knocking on the door of the playoffs. He went to the Bills, and Josh Allen took a seat for 1 year. And the Bills are going to make the playoffs. They have a great defense and miss everything but the quarterback. But there's Eli. I don't know. That wouldn't excite you if you were the Bills? No?
No. No, I think they're good with Josh Allen and trying to figure it out, because it's basically a coin flip between the play of those two guys.
I mean, you got to convince Murray on this one.
Good luck. It ain't going to happen. If anything, I want the old names outside of Brady out of here. Like, let's get out of here. Like, let's Roethlisberger, Rivers, like, enough with these retreads. Get out of here. Let's start new. 100th year of the NFL. Let's get all the new names going. Let's draft some new guys.
I mean, look, I don't like Philip Rivers, but on the Chicago Bears, they're suddenly more interesting to me.
Somehow I see him with the Panthers. Like, I think that would be a good fit.
Philip Rivers if you were the Colts, would you rather have Jacoby Brissett or Philip Rivers?
Rivers.
If you were the Colts, would you rather have Jacoby Brissett or Eli Manning?
Jacoby Brissett.
I don't know. I'd say Eli. I mean, again, because I think Brissett's got a ceiling that isn't high enough.
I'm just telling you, this is what we do, Maury. This conversation, Eli Manning being in the conversation is more interesting to me. It's too bad that he's bowing out. Is he a Hall of Famer? We'll get to that next as well. Don't go anywhere.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
Something?
I don't know. Google it, Maz.
Listen to the podcast on the 98.5 The Sports Hub app.
That's idiotic.
Now back to Felger and Maz on Boston's home for sports.
Four-man rush. Eli throwing into traffic on the sideline. They're going to rule it a catch by Manningham.
This is absolutely brilliant. If he makes this play, let's watch his feet. Clean catch. And remember, there is no force out. So you have to make the catch cleanly and get both feet down in bounds.
Contact doesn't matter at all. Even if you're contacted out of bounds, it used to be that was a force out. Those rules are gone. Does he have possession? And does he keep both feet in bounds is
I
the
think
question.
Possession of the ball all the way to the ground as far as I saw it.
There's possession.
1 foot down, two
right.
feet down.
Looks like he has it.
That Eli Manning signature play?
Yes, yeah, best throw of his career.
38 yards to Mario Manningham down the left sidelines. He was at his own 12-yard line. 3:46 left in the fourth quarter. The Patriots were actually leading at the time.
They were, yeah. That was a big one.
17-14. Giants get the ball, their own 12 with 3:46 left, and Eli drove him down the field, that play being the signature play of that drive. He a Hall of Famer?
I mean, I say yes. I say yes because I put a premium on the Super Bowls and I saw him in those big moments. So now, you know, I mean, it's hypocritical of me in some way because typically this is the kind of guy I say no on in baseball. Okay? Like, you got to also do it during the regular season, but I don't know. I put a premium on Super Bowl. It's a different kind of thing. And so I say yes.
Yeah, he is. And I get the case against him because of those, you know, the regular season record, but... And I know you hate him. I hate him too, but I respect him. And that guy in the postseason was unkillable on those two Super Bowl runs. Two-time Super Bowl MVP is one of five players to ever get that. So, yeah, on that alone. And in those Super Bowls, he beats the best quarterback and coach in the history of the game. Like, that matters too. That weights it. At least it does to me. So, yes, Eli Manning is a Hall of Famer.
So this is hypocritical of me too, because usually I weight the postseason performances heavily. But he's a no to me. He was never one of the great quarterbacks in the league. Was he ever top three?
No, no.
Was he ever top three?
He never won an MVP, right?
No.
I mean, was he ever top five?
I don't think so. No. So this is like, he's really like a unique case. He's really a unicorn in a lot of ways.
He was always behind Brady, probably always behind Roethlisberger, always behind Favre and then Rodgers. Always behind, Breeze. Probably always behind Rivers. Let's name five guys.
I mean, did you even mention his brother yet?
Okay, right. His brother, six. Like, was he ever a top five quarterback?
I don't know. I don't think so.
And so I know, like, I'm a yes on Curt Schilling in baseball. He never won a Cy Young, but I wait the 11-2 in the postseason. So why wouldn't I do the same thing for Eli? So I'm not being consistent. I'm a small hall guy, and nope. He just doesn't reach that level for me.
I mean, so again, I go the other way, and I don't know. Maybe it's like, you know, the sport you end up covering or something you end up being more critical of, because that's sort of what has happened here, right? Like, I flipped on it. I'd take him in a big spot.
The dirty little secret is that he wasn't that good in that first Super Bowl against the Patriots.
He sucked in it, except, and, you know, which is
you.
Why.
I mean, I was trying to be kind, but he
was good in that NFC Championship game. But that run overall, especially, I mean, you look at the Super Bowl, people remember that. That did seem fluky. It was 2011 that put it over the top for me, because it's that NFC Championship game where he gets completely ragdolled from whistle to whistle and it never gives up. And then in that Super Bowl, he was awesome. Like, you just couldn't kill him in 2011.
He was balls in that postseason. He was. And so, like, when you say the signature play, like, instinctively, I think a lot of Giants, or I shouldn't even say Giants fans, because they know it more intimately than I do. I think a lot of people would say David Tyree. There was nothing special about that throw. He just chucked it up there. But the Manningham throw?
Yeah, no, that was it. That's why we ran that one.
Oh, that was nails. You can't throw it any better than that. And again, against the Patriots, 3.5 at your own 12-yard line. He takes him down the field, and you know, Ahmad Bradshaw ends up taking it into the end zone. He should have taken a knee and kicked the field goal. But even so, they went down and scored and won the game.
Yeah, it wouldn't even have been a factor if Welker caught that ball.
I mean, that was his moment. That drive was it. Like, so, and you know, and it was the second one. As fluky as the first one may have been, it was the second one, and to me, really cemented it for him.
Okay, so we can talk about that. I really don't care about that. I do care about it's the quarterback carousel is a little less interesting with him in it. And I just want to see, I want to see chaos. I mean, if you're the Chicago Bears, you want Mitch Trubisky or Cam Newton?
Oh, Cam.
Okay, yeah. So Cam Newton might be available here in a trade. Wouldn't he be an interesting guy? If you're the Chargers, is he your guy going into that stadium?
Ooh, that's a good one.
Not bad.
No, good. There'd be buzz around
not
him.
Not bad. Former MVP. Boom, you know.
I mean, I'll tell you, the guy I would want for them, if I don't get Brady, because Brady would be number one. Breeze. You know, come back to your roots. I mean, they, you know, they let him go, and not that Rivers was a mistake, but Breeze won and Rivers didn't. And so now we're going to bring him back. We're going to right one of the great wrongs in franchise history.
And then there's Vegas. What if Brady goes to Vegas? Or Vegas decides they need a, you know, a bigger, more stat. They want Breeze for their new stadium. Now Derek Carr is available. If you're the Buffalo Bills, you want Derek Carr or Josh Allen?
6.5 yeah. Doesn't the
really?
Yeah.
You don't think Derek Carr is more ready?
Probably Derek Carr.
I don't know. Allen is tough, though.
I'll tell you what.
I think Carr is a wuss.
I would not give up on Josh Allen. He's clearly not ready. I mean, my God. You know, running around with a chicken with his head cut off, throwing the ball over his head and things like
that. Houston thing was pathetic.
He ain't ready. But watching him against you late, even the game he lost and he missed some throws, and even that playoff game, he still made some big plays.
Mm-hmm. He's got makeup, I think.
I think there's something there long term. You know, I think if they're patient with him, that ultimately, if they can beat the stupid out of him, you might have something there.
But in terms of his size and toughness, he does remind me of a young Roethlisberger. He just really can't throw. He needs touch.
Well, he's just not there yet. He's really raw.
He compete. I mean, again, some of those plays just football stupid. Like that really dumb as
I mean, what are you doing?
Just chucking the ball all over the field. Like, what are you doing, really?
But
I think he's tough and competitive.
So I'll take a like Breeze or Brady on the Raiders. Oh, that's cool. And now Derek Carr, you go somewhere. You go to Chicago and sit that bum down Trubisky and, you know, see what that team can be with a more real core. I don't know what you consider Derek Carr, but I think, I don't know, like, so this is what I want. I want the whole thing. I want to spin the wheel and have all these guys end up somewhere else and, you know, be like an NBA offseason. And I just think that would be interesting. So let's talk about this. Here's Tim in Sherbourne. Go ahead, Tim.
Hey, guys. So I'm a Giants fan living in New England, which, as you can imagine, is lots of fun. But I want to disagree with Murray about Eli Manning's ability. I think he still has the arm strength. He played very well in his final game. I think he's had the writing on the wall for months now. His agent has presumably canvassed the entire NFL for some sort of assurance of a starting job, or at least any kind of assurance of a starting job.
See, I don't think that's it. I think he was canvassing the league for money. Because if Eli said, I'll take, you know, minimum money, all incentives, of course he would have teams that would take that chance.
I mean, I sort of say it's all part of the same thing to me. Like, he's looking for a job, and do we have a deal somewhere? And he didn't.
Look, in the local media in New York, it's been documented that he really wants two things. He wants to be able to play and not be a backup. And two, he doesn't want to be too far from home because his kids are at a prime age and so on and so forth. So, like, the Chargers, for example, don't make a tremendous amount of sense because it's all the way across the country, and they probably weren't willing to give him any assurances, right? So I'm just raising those as reasons why if Eli didn't see a way to get what he wants, then why is he going to go into Murray's point?
Yeah, well, he's just another Manning. Wants it exactly all laid out for him. Wants his daddy to call and get him a job like he got the Giants gig, you know? Want Archie to handle it for him as opposed to go out and prove himself, and I'm going to go out on my own. I'm going to shove it all down your throats, and I'm going to do it on my own, and da-da-da. I wish he had that. I wish that's how he was wired. But he's not. We'll pick this up on the other side. Murray's update takes 90 seconds. There's no commercials.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.